तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणिमचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यादेशकारिणे नमो महामदनाय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरकृषे नमः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीना बंधु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कंत राधा कंत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी विश्वभानुसुते देवी प्रणवामि हरिप्रिये श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासवि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीयजेत् मुखा करोति वाचालं पङ्गुलं गायते गिरिं यक्कीपाचमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दिनतारिणं परमानन्दमाधवम् श्री चैतन्य ईश्वर टेक्स्ट
34
अगमिष्यत्य देगेन कलेन व्रजमाच्युत प्रियं विधास्यते पित्रो भगवान् सत्त्वतां पति आगमिष्यत्य दीर्घेन कलेन व्रजमाच्युत प्रियं विधास्यते पित्र भगवान् सात्वतां पति Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Infallible Krishna, the Lord of the devotees, will soon return to Vraja to satisfy his parents. There's some very beautiful words used in this statement of Uddhava's. Rajam Achuta. Krishna comes back to Vraja. Bhagavan Sattvatam Pati. Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, Master and Protector of His devotees. Very Sattvata Pati, very interesting word. Anyway, purport here Uddhava begins to deliver Lord Krishna's message. Krishna gave a message for his parents to the Vrajavasis. So now he's delivering it. So it goes on. Atvakam samrangam adhye pratipam sarvasatvatam yadaha vasamagatya krishna satyam karoti tat. Having killed Kamsa, the enemy of all the Yadus, in the wrestling arena, Krishna will now surely fulfill his promise to you by coming back. Ma kidyatam mahabhago drakshata krishna mantike antarhidi sabhutanam aste jyotiri vaidhasi. O most fortunate ones, do not lament. You will see Krishna again very soon. He is present in the hearts of all living beings, just as fire lies dormant in wood. Purport: Uddhava understood that Nandan Yasoda already impatient to see Krishna. Thus he reassured them that Sri Krishna would come soon. Nyahasyasti priya kastin na priya vastyamanina notamo nadamo vapi samanasya samopiva. For him, no one is especially dear or despicable, superior or inferior, and yet he is not indifferent to anyone. He is free from all desire for respect, and yet he gives respect to all others. That's like the verse, third verse of Lord Chaitanya. Amanena, mananena, amanena, manadena, kirtaniya sadahari, amanena. Doesn't desire respect, manadena, gives respect to everyone. So Krishna has that quality. Namata na pita tasya na varya na sata suta daya natmiyo na parashchapi na deho janma evacha. He has no mother, no father, no wife, children or other relatives. No one is related to him, and yet no one is stranger to him. He has no material body and no birth. Nachasya karma valoke sadasan misra yonishu kriyartam sopi sadhunam paritranaya kalpate. He has no work to do in this material world that would oblige him to take birth in pure, impure or mixed species of life. Yet to enjoy his pastimes and deliver his saintly devotees, he manifests himself. So that's like verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Puritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chaduskritam. But here he says, to protect, to deliver his saintly devotees, enjoy his pastimes. Kriyartam. Kriya means playing, artam is for the sake. Kriyartam sapi sadhunam. Sadhunam is saintly devotees. Paritranaya kalpate. Deliver them. So this is Krishna's purpose for coming. Uddhava has revealed it. Sattvam rajastama iti bhajate nirguna gunan krida natito pi gunai srijatyavati hantyacha. Although beyond the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, the transcendental Lord accepts association with them as his play. Thus the unborn Supreme Lord utilizes the material modes to create, maintain and destroy. Purport, as is stated in the Brahma Samhita 2.1.34, Lokovat Lilakoi Valyam. Translation, the Lord performs his spiritual pastimes as if he were a resident of this world. Unquote. Although the Lord does not favor or abuse anyone, he still observes happiness and suffering in this world. The Gita 13.22 states, Karanam Guna Sangosya. We desire to associate with various qualities of material nature, and thus we must accept the consequences. The Lord provides the field of material nature in which we exercise our free will. Foolish non-devotees not only attempt to cheat this Lord by trying to exploit his nature, but when they suffer the reaction, they blame God for their own misdeeds. This is the shameless position of those who are envious of God. So we're trying to exploit the material nature and the three modes of material nature. We get entangled in the laws of karma for our attempts. We suffer the reactions, then we blame God. Why does God make us suffer? So Prabhupada said, this is, or here in the purport, that's people envious of God. They don't understand. They think, I'm a good person. You know, I give my donation to the Red Cross. And but someone said to me a couple of days ago, they want to help kids. When I asked them, are you a vegetarian? They said, no. This is what was happening at the refugee camp I went to in the Cambodian-Thai border, Arangikapit, about 25 years ago. All the aid societies, the NGOs that were there were distributing meat and fish to the refugees. So we asked if we can get one vegetarian. They said, well, everybody's already got their positions. It's hard to fit in someone else, but you could set up a vegetarian restaurant for the people who are distributing. Because they actually like vegetarian, but they don't get it here. And they all fry out very quickly doing their social aid and they want to leave. So if there was a Hare Krishna vegetarian tent here, then maybe they'd stay longer. But this is the good work we do for people, and then we kill animals to help the human beings. Prabhupada stressed the point that so many animals are being slaughtered in the United States, and then they end up going to war, and so many of their young people get killed. Some devotees, for their own free will, children of the devotees, they enrolled in the army and the marines, and they're fighting in Iraq. And then, but they're eating, they get these MRIs, military ration. So some of the military rations are vegetarian. So they train their non-veg to the soldiers that have the veg, and everyone's happy to give their veg away. They usually throw those anyway. And so that way they get all the vegetarian rations. kind of interesting to hear that. Everything we do, we get the karmas for that. It's not Krishna's fault. But at least we know how the laws of nature work, how laws of karma work. In many different faiths of the world, they don't know. When you ask why people are suffering, they say it's a mystery. But even like the Bible says, as you sow, so shall you reap. So that's people putting the blame on the Lord, but it's actually they're getting the reactions from this life. That's why we should stop committing sin and stop doing pious activity also. Stop doing things which bring us back to the material world. If you do a pious activity, then you have to come back here to enjoy it. Get a good birth, get a good house, a better car, nice education, beautiful wife, husband, children. If you pray for all these things, you may have to take another birth to enjoy more. Whatever your house was this birth, a better house next birth. Do you want to come back and take another birth for a better house? Is it worth taking a better birth, another birth for getting a better car? Instead of a Holden, you can have a Porsche. Many people in this area of the town have Porsches, BMWs. We don't know what their next birth is. Now they're spending their good karma. But if they're not doing any good karma, the next birth, they may be born in Cambodia or Somalia or who knows. Cambodia is not so bad now. In Somalia is the tough spot, or Iraq, Palestine. Quite a few bad places right now, tough places right now in the world. The United Nations hasn't been able to stop wars. Wars are still going on. Even in India, we have some terrorists in Kashmir, in Manipur, Nagaland, that side. What's that sound? And in India now we're having some really good results with our Bhakti Riksha groups. And we're getting a businessmen, influential people to participate. And so some of the other businessmen convinced them, you say, you get a new car, you get your imported car, Mercedes-Benz, you spend 50 lakhs of rupees for that, 25 lakhs, whatever it is. And your brother is in a car, and then you get an accident. So you're going to save your car or save your brother? Which is your priority? Well, you have a special relationship with your brother. I don't believe you. But so everyone says, no, we're trying to save the passenger. And being a doctor, I think that's your, what's it, Hippocrates, what's the, Hippocratical oath? So, then people say, so what's in the body, what's the important thing? Then they get down, okay, that they have the body, they have the hands, the leg, but ultimately the most, when the soul leaves the body's dead. When the body gets overtaken by cancer, overtaken by some disease, or it's so damaged that it can't sustain the life anymore, then the soul goes on, takes another birth. So, that's the, so what's the important feature of the body? What's the most important thing? And then they understand, well, it's the soul. It's like in the car, it's the passengers, the driver, the human beings try to save them first. Cars can be replaced, but humans can't. So like this, then they start to understand that what a whole life, you're, you know, accumulating your car, your house, your material things, but you're neglecting your spiritual understanding. So not many people joining Bhakti Riksha are appreciating. Some people told me last night that we didn't know before, we were just here, came to Australia trying to make money, but now we've understood that there's so many important features to life, our spiritual purpose, which we didn't know before. Most of the people have a very superficial understanding. So there's just trying to enjoy the different modes. Someone trying to help people, they enjoy the mode of goodness. But they're slaughtering animals to feed people, then they're also committing bad karmas. Someone wants to enjoy the mode of passion, position, power, fame, sense gratification, and that mode. Then they get the reactions to come back again and take further births to fulfill their desires. Someone wants to enjoy the mode of ignorance, some craziness, some drugs. They told me that here people sniff petrol. Like how hard up you gotta be to try to get some little happiness. So they're going to the tamaguna. When I was a kid, we heard about people sniffing glue, but you know, they got petrol. I don't know what that does to your body, but it's in the mode of ignorance, all this intoxication, craziness. People who are alcoholics, meth addicts, narcos. So people, they're trying to get their happiness in these different modes. Either through ignorance or passion or goodness. But all of it brings them back. Ignorance may bring them back as a tree or some kind of animal, lower species, just where they won't be so conscious anymore about all these things. Passion probably bring them back as a human being if they're doing more of goodness, depends. If it's really pure goodness, they may get elevated to a higher. But everybody's taking birth again. So says Krishna, he doesn't do anything to enjoy the modes of nature. He may use the modes, but not to enjoy them in such a way that he's entangled in some birth. He doesn't take birth like we do. I met one person in the airport, and they were talking, "Oh, you're Hare Krishnas," and he said, "Oh, so we all believe in..." He said, "I'm a Christian." I said, "We believe in the same God, right? There's one God." "No, but you believe that God takes birth." Which is pretty strange. They say Jesus is God and He took birth. But God can't come here. So since you believe God comes here, it means He must not be God. Says, "Well, isn't God all powerful? Omnipotent, omnipresent, sure, he can do anything. Then why you say the only thing He can't do is come here?" So He does come here. He comes here as Krishna, comes here as Ram, comes here as Narsingadev. And in these purports, in these verses, it's explaining how He comes. He comes here for His leela, for His play, kriyartam. Kriyan atito pi bhunai. His kriya, His activities, His play is atita pi guna. It's above, transcendental, guna atita, transcendental to the three modes of material nature. So He accepts the play with the three modes. What's interesting is when He's here, He's acting like He was a resident of the world. But He's not. It's like people come to Australia as tourists. Then they have to act like a resident when they're here. They have to follow the laws. They have to drive on the left side of the road, even if they're from a country that drives on the right side. So Krishna acts like He's a resident here. It looks like He's following the laws. But actually, He resides in the spiritual world. He's a Golokvasi. So he comes. This morning, Preeti's cousin was here. She told me she's working for the university as an enrollment officer for foreign students. So this is what we do. We're an enrollment office to get the students from here to go back to Godhead. So Krishna comes down here, shows what it's like in the spiritual world, trying to rescue some fallen souls from here. This is a prison house that has all varieties of cells. You hear that sometimes some big narco trafficker in South America, they put him in a luxury cell with TV and air conditioning and mobile phones, because he bribed all the people in the jail. Well, you can get a heavenly jail, you can get an earthly jail, you can get a hellish jail, but you're still in a prison. You can't leave the universe. Now Krishna comes here to offer is Mukunda. That word is used here in the first verse, Mukunda. He gets mukti, he gets liberation from the material world. This is... So we can get back to Krishna. But it helps us to be attracted to want to go. We should want to go. I have a disciple who works in a penitentiary. She's in a ladies' prison. She's the guard. She's the staff. They deliver the food. They watch what's going on. See, everywhere in the prison, they all want to go out because there's more sense gratification outside. They know that, they have some experience. But people don't know what's outside of this prison. They just think a better prison cell is what we want. They don't know there's something outside of this. That's how Haridas Thakur, when he was in prison, he saw that you people are fortunate. He said, what? Fortunate? What, are you crazy calling us prisoners fortunate? We should beat you, you're making jokes with us. He said, no, the people outside are also in prison. They're conditioned by their senses, they're conditioned by the three modes of nature. They're prisoners in this world, but they don't know it. So, you are fortunate, you know you're in prison. So you're in a better, more realistic position of your situation. You want to get out of here, but they don't want to get out of this material world. So you should want to get out of the material world, which is also a prison. So you convince them all to chant Hare Krishna. Yatha brahmarika drishtya brahmyati vamahiyate chite chaturikatari tattatma karte vaham dhiyasmita. Just as the person who is whirling around perceives the ground to be turning, one who is affected by false ego thinks himself the doer, when actually only his mind is acting. Purport. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Srila, gives a parallel idea. Although our happiness and distress are caused by our own interaction with the material qualities, we perceive the Lord to be their cause. So we may put the blame on the Lord. It's our free will that He gives us, and we react, interact with the material nature. We're getting the reactions for that, and they're happy or distressful because of that. Goodness, distress in the beginning, happiness at the end. Passion, happiness in the beginning, distress at the end. Ignorance, distress in the beginning, distress at the end. Yuvayor eva naivayam atmajo bhagavan hari Sarvesham atmajo yatma pita mata sa ishvara. The Supreme Lord Hari is certainly not your son alone. Rather, being the Lord, He is the Son, Soul, Father, Mother of everyone. Vrishtam srutam bhuta bhavad bhavishyat stasnus charishnur maharalpakam cha vina chutadvastu taram navacham saeva sarvam parima paramatma bhuta. Nothing can be said to exist independent of Lord Achyuta. Nothing heard or seen, nothing in the past, present, or future, nothing moving or unmoving, great or small, He indeed is everything, for He is the Supreme Soul. Purport. Sri Uddhava is relieving the distress of Nanda and Yasoda by bringing them to a more philosophical plane. He is explaining that since Lord Krishna is everything and is within everything, His pure devotees are always with Him. Next verse, 44, for a little note that I always go. So, Uddhava is giving his message, Krishna's message. See how much effect it takes. These devotees are so much in love with Krishna. Philosophy is a different level. They're on a pretty high level. But we'll see how Uddhava's preaching. You know, Uddhava, when he meets the Brajavasis, meets the gopis, finally he gets so much defeated by their love that he says that I want to take birth as even a grass in Vrindavan, where the dust of the lotus feet of the gopis and Brajavasis will touch him. Step on me. So the Brajavasis have unadulterated, unconditional, unrestricted love for Krishna. Hard for people to understand the ecstasy of the pure devotees. When Lord Chaitanya was in ecstasy chanting the names of the gopis, the students thought he was in Maya. Why are you lamenting? You should be happy. When Madhavendra Puri was crying in ecstasy and separation of Krishna, hey Krishna, hey Mathuranath, hey Dina Dayadra, my dear merciful Krishna, where are you? His disciple, Ramchandra Puri, came and started preaching to him, Gurudev, don't Don't be in lamentation. This material world is a dukkha laya. But by meditating on the impersonal Brahman, you'll become peaceful. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. You realize what my stupid disciple is telling me to meditate on a personal Brahman, thinks I'm in Maya, lamenting for material things when I'm feeling separation of Krishna. I'm in the greatest ecstasy, and this fool comes here and tells me to meditate on impersonal Brahman. He gets angry and chases him away again. I don't want to see your face again. After that, Ramchandra Puri became famous as an offender of the Vaishnavas, fault finder. He saw ants crawling in Lord Chaitanya's room and accused him. But since an ant came to your room, you must be eating sweets. You're not a real austere sannyasi. You're eating sweets. So he started criticizing him. So neophyte people, they mistake spiritual ecstasy for some material lamentation. So I hope all the devotees go deeper and deeper. This is a very wonderful as part of the Bhagavatam. Develop their taste. Sometimes when we feel some separation for Krishna, we feel some desire for Krishna's mercy. It's actually a special blessing in disguise. When we feel a stronger desire for Krishna, then that's spiritually auspicious for us. Anyway, any questions or comments? Really? Happy birthday. You got an extra garland for him? Two? Another? This is a little bit big. Got a small one? You want a big one or a small one? We have one upstairs, my room? What's your name? Andik.
Aravind.
Aravind, come on, Aravind. Hare Krishna to you.
Hare Krishna to you.
last birth. So what's your realization on your birthday? So you get some sweet Mahaprasad today. Hare Krishna. I heard it's Ashray Nitai's birthday too. Hare Krishna to you.
Hare Krishna to you. Hare Krishna to you.
Hare Ram. Anybody else's birthday? Ursula, it's your birthday? Tomorrow? Today? She says today. So we had to come back to do what? To pay for our sins.
Yes. And
well, until we surrender to Krishna, we're bound in the material world. We come back to enjoy, to suffer. When we get a huge quantity of sinful activities accumulated, and it's too much to just get it through the normal birth, then there's a special retreat sexus area for paying for sins. Intensive program. It's called hell. And you go there and you can pay for a lot of karmas very fast and clear up your account. Then when your account is more cleared up, you can take birth again. And you don't have to pay the same karmas twice. You know, whatever, they may not wipe out all your karmas, it's just overload. Yeah, fifth canto tells about the kind of karmas that you have to pay for in hell. There's a chapter on it. 29 different kinds of hells and what kind of sins qualify for each hell. Maybe sometimes people can take a birth as a worm or an insect or a bird or something and suffer this in those species, whereas a human being in some hellish position. It's just one option they have for paying for karma. It's also when I come here, time goes really fast. Late nights, long days. We're going to miss all the devotees. Right now the plan is to come back on the fourth evening and have a class here, although Perth is trying to snatch me away. This undercover agent. And any other questions for me, just apart from the class in general?
I was just wondering, sometimes Lord Krishna puts a pure devotee in great difficulty. So, why does he do that?
Different reasons. Sometimes Prabhupada, when he was sick in Vrindavan, I was sitting next to him and he lifted up his hands and his arm and it was ready. Like you see, Prabhupada is really healthy usually, but this time his hand was emaciated and it was just skin and bone, and he said, "This is because I took too many unqualified disciples." Now I'm paying. So some of them may be paying for the karmas of his disciples. Or sometimes it's a test to show others how our peer devotees act under difficult situations. There's a verse that says, "The more you rub sandalwood pulp, the more the sweet smell comes. The more you smash sugar cane, the more the sweet juice comes. The more you burn the gold, the brighter the gold gets. The more you put pure devotees under tests, the more glorious they are after the test." And so much so that they don't have to come back again to the material world. And then maybe whatever accumulated karmas are still left, if there's anything, just clear it all off at one time and then go back to Godhead. There's different reasons. Narada Muni in the first canto of Bhagavatam, he was chanting Hare Krishna. Then one day there was like a flash of light and he had no pain, nothing. He looked down and saw his dead body and he saw that he had a spiritual Satchidananda form. So it can be like that also. Painless transfer. There's a devotee now, I mean, there's sometimes people go on cancer and then here I heard the doctors want to put them on a morphine drip and put them to sleep and pull the plugs while they're asleep and Haribol. see you later, next birth. And I was thinking that how I had a disciple who had cancer. In fact, they fast-tracked her for initiation because she had cancer. I mean, not by our standards fast-track, but by their standards. It was in Italy, they had to wait for a couple of years to get initiation if you were a congregational member, but she was, since she had cancer, they just recommended her. She lived for about 6 months longer, and then suddenly she went to the hospital. She was feeling pain. They said, the cancer has gone all over your body. So what can you do for me? They said, we can give you a morphine. There's nothing we can do. We can just stop the pain. And then she said, well, okay, so what do you want us to do for you? He said, give me an ambulance. Mm-hmm. And they said, you're already in the hospital. What do you want an ambulance for? Mm-hmm. I want an ambulance to go to the temple. Mm-hmm. You can't help me. So I want to go to the temple and leave my body there. I want to die there. And so they provided her an ambulance, and the ambulance came up to the temple. I don't know if it's going to happen here one time. You had an ambulance pull up. Think somebody's sick. They drop off a sick devotee who wants to die here. So she went to the Mittelago temple in Italy. They have beautiful deities. She had darshan of deities. They gave her a guest room. And then somehow she didn't have any pain. Even though normally cancer patients, I think, have to suffer a lot of pain. She wasn't on morphine or anything. That no pain was hearing the Prabhupada's tapes chanting. Lived for 8 days like that. On the eighth day, then suddenly started feeling strange. And the devotees came to the room, and there was like 20 devotees all chanting Hare Krishna. ISKCON Guru Madhusavita Prabhu just happened to arrive at the moment, came in. He personally told me, I came in the room, everyone was chanting. I shouted out, Hare Krishna. I saw her lean forward, open her mouth, say, Hare Krishna, and leave. Yeah. She says, when I saw that, I said, if you have a way of asking how you want to go, that's how I want to go. Surrounded by devotees chanting Hare Krishna. So somehow she left with no pain, and even though she had the cancer, really. I mean, some people, they're on extreme pain. I can't say it works like that for everybody, but it worked for her that way. So Krishna helps his devotees to cross over. But death is not an easy thing. I mean, that's the toughest exam we're going to have to pass through. The final exam. So sometimes it's good we go through a few, you know, before your finals you have a few semester exams and intermediate exams. Toughen you up, make you prepare for the final.
USA is great.
Is that what it is? Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Keep in touch.